These two men are the victims of some kind of biological toxin. They were investigating an abandoned rental truck, and now they're writhing on the ground after a package spewed some kind of liquid.
You all right, man?
What's that?
I don't know what that was. It hurts.
These guys are acting. They're part of a huge training exercise put on by the Environmental Protection Agency. Dozens of firefighters, emergency medical personnel, EPA investigators, the FBI, and people in T-shirts identifying themselves with acronyms for agencies most of us have never heard of. They're all working through a couple of scenarios. So far today, they've discovered radioactive material to make dirty bombs and some kind of lab set up to make a chemical like sarin nerve gas. And then there's the rental truck, which is loaded with nasty chemicals. Mark Durno is the US EPA's on-scene coordinator.
We have some very distinct objectives with this exercise. One is to practice responding to unusual situations that might involve weapons of mass destruction. In this particular exercise, we're practicing chemical agent and radiological agent response.
There are a lot of new things to learn. Coordination between agencies and new techniques. In this exercise, Detroit city departments are learning to work with federal agencies. Melvin Green is with the fire department's emergency medical services. He says this exercise is good. He'd rather see his medical technicians make mistakes here than during a real emergency where his worst fears might be realized.
I would have to say that, you know, them becoming casualties, that's probably my biggest fear. This is why we want to educate them on, and this is why the exercise is so important. We want to educate them on the possibilities. Keeping our people safe reduces casualties.
That's because if the emergency medical personnel are hurt, fewer people will be treated. The idea of a terrorist attack with radiological or biological agents is the kind of nightmarish scenario that no one really wants to think about. But it's something emergency responders have to think about. During this day-long exercise, these trainees are upbeat. They're confident in the response. They feel they've come a long way in the nearly 3 years since 9/11. But other emergency service experts are not quite as upbeat. Just 40 miles from this training exercise, at the University of Michigan Hospital's Department of Emergency Medicine, Administrator Peter Forster says there are weaknesses in preparedness for terrorist attacks.
We've made a lot of progress from where we were, but we've got a long ways to go.
Forrester says when victims start showing up at the hospital emergency rooms, there will be bottlenecks.
Most emergency preparedness activities have been geared toward local events with relatively small numbers of victims. When we start talking about hundreds of people or thousands of people injured or hurt or exposed to some toxic or contagious substance, then I think the health system would have a significantly difficult time expanding to meet that requirement, regardless of how well we're trained or how prepared we are. We don't really have the capacity on the healthcare side to manage a significant influx of patients.
Forrester says plans to set up emergency medical facilities in auditoriums, school gyms, and maybe even hotel rooms need to be completed, arrangements made, and supplies stockpiled.
This operation
Meanwhile, back in Detroit, investigators are putting on bulky chemical protection suits, the ones that kind of look like big spacesuits. They're blue, yellow, olive. They have teal-colored gloves and orange boots. You'd think of circus colors if the subject matter weren't so serious. After examining the mock labs, spending about an hour in the sweltering suits, they've come out for decontamination before their air tanks run out. The local agencies help with decontamination, spraying and scrubbing the suits down. The training site has all the sights and sounds of a real emergency. Lots of emergency vehicles like fire trucks, the noise of generators, and the smell of diesel. But it's fairly relaxed. There's none of the tension, none of the urgency of a real emergency. The US EPA's on-scene coordinator, Mark Durno, says there are some things you can't bring to a drill.
You can never simulate the adrenaline and the potential panic that's associated with the real event, especially when you hear the words chemical and radiological agent. However, we can practice those little tools that we're going to need to be absolutely proficient at to ensure that when the panic hits, we're ready to roll without any hesitation.
The day's training has turned up a few glitches. Q Communication between agencies is still a problem. Emergency radio frequencies need to be sorted out and coordinated. And there are still some major gaps in preparedness that are not part of this training, such as the emergency room capacity problem. But one of the bigger issues is money. Federal money has been promised to local governments, but it's been very slow in coming. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, this is Lester Graham.